This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما رب العالمين ربنا أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. Last week, بحمد الله عز وجل, we began the Kitab al-Riqaq from Sahih al-Bukhari. So if you've missed it, it's online, inshallah. And we explained what riqaq means, the importance of the topic, and the first two chapters in that book. And today, inshallah, we continue with that. We will probably do two more chapters. May Allah Azza wa Jalla open our hearts, because the whole intention of all of this is to soften the hearts. So it would be really ironic if we do something about softening the hearts that does not reach the heart. So if that is not working, what else is going to work? So that's what, inshallah, we want to ask Allah out of all of this, is that I hear something and it moves my heart. And there's nothing better as, and I don't know if I've mentioned this last time or not, when somebody asks, it says, what book can I read to soften my heart? Because I feel that my heart has hardened, it's distant, it is far away from Allah Azza wa Jalla, I need a book that would help me. And obviously the answer is, what is better than the book of Allah itself, and what is better after that than the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to soften the hearts? Any other book that comes after that is only going to take from them. So anyway, let's just proceed. And this chapter is Babu Qawli Nabiyyi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kun fi dunya ka'annaka gharibun aw abiru sabil. Says the heading of the chapter is a statement of the Prophet that is going to follow. He says the title of the chapter is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, be in the dunya as if you are a stranger or a traveler. Now, to whom did he say this, and what does that mean? Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, أخذ رسول الله بمنكبي. He says the Prophet ﷺ held me by the shoulder. So he put his hand on my shoulder, right? Grabbed him by the shoulder. And this is for what? Why did he do this? This is for attention and also proximity and care. It conveys that touch, that connection wakes up something in you. That this is something special. What's going to follow is something special. Pay attention to it because I care about you, and that touch conveys that care and mercy. So this is something, if you're an educator, if you're a parent, this is the Prophet ﷺ is teaching you something here, right? That is, when there is something important, and whenever it's appropriate, of course, when there's something important, the touch helps convey the care that you have, the feelings that you have for someone. So he said, he held me by the shoulder, and he said, or he put my hand by the, on my shoulder, and he said, be in the dunya, in this world, as if you are a stranger or a traveler. So the Prophet ﷺ, in these short words, has conveyed to Abdullah, distilled to Abdullah ibn Umar, how we are supposed to be in this dunya. How am I supposed, if you think about it, like how as a human being am I supposed to behave in this dunya? Right? Different patterns, different ways of existence. How am I supposed to exist? Am I supposed to be a fierce, ruthless person, a dog who eats other dogs? Am I supposed to be passive? Passive for the sake of what? How am I supposed to be in this dunya? How do I navigate? So when do you begin the dunya? When you're born, right? You're not conscious of that. You begin to be conscious of the dunya itself at age 2, 3, 4, 5, whenever. The first memory that you have. And then it starts to accumulate. And then you gain full consciousness and then full power, full maturity. Till the end, till your death. So from the beginning to the end, how do I navigate the dunya? What personality, what identity do I take? What do I do and what do I avoid? In essence, is what kind of person should I be? So he told him, in this dunya, be like a stranger or a traveler. And that is, if you think about it, subhanAllah, It will take us a lifetime to realize this hadith. I'm not exaggerating, because you will hear it now. You say, yeah, I know that he had said it, but you will not fully understand it until you practice it. And when you practice it, you'll understand, oh, that's what he meant. That's how it feels. That's how I'm supposed to be. Na'am. There is really a lot of wisdom in it here. Tayyib, be in the dunya like you are a stranger. Now, those who have traveled to a new place will understand that feeling. A new city and town, and the more different it is, the more that you're going to have that feeling. Or you move to another country, you're an expat, an immigrant, you'll have that feeling. So you move in, and it's not your city, it's not familiar. The language is not yours, the people are not yours. And we may say that you settle, and you rent, or you even buy a place, and you trade, and you buy, and you sell, and maybe we'll say that you even marry, right? But you still feel that this is not your home, right? You don't really fully belong. There's a distance between you and that place. It's not home. You understand what I'm saying, right? It's not home. Yeah, you have fun, you go, you eat, you develop, you know, relationships, but it's still not home. That is an alien. And the word alienated comes from it. So in a place in the dunya, you're supposed to be or feel alienated. It doesn't really fit. This is not really my home, and this is not really my place. Even if I settle and I buy and I study and I marry, but I don't fully belong here. It feels awkward and it feels strange, and at times it feels that this is not mine and I'm supposed to leave it and I cannot really fully enjoy it. Tayyib, where is your home then if this is not a home? Because all of us are looking for a home, right? You need to settle. So all of us are looking for a home. So where is the home then? Where is it? The Akhirah, Jannah. So here you feel that you're out of place, a stranger, an alien who's alienated. You don't partake. So why do you feel alienated like that? And there's a station higher than that, which is the traveler, right? But why do you feel alienated? Because if you are concerned and worried about the hereafter, when you meet the people of the dunya, what do they talk about? Only dunya. And that is off-putting. Like if the only thing they talk about is the dunya, like if imagine, you know, you're being invited. I don't know if you've been in that situation or not. You've been invited to a place, you go to it. And the people there, you arrive, they're only talking about stocks. And you don't have nothing to do with stocks. Talking about the big cars that they just bought, and they don't have the money to do that. And they're talking about the trips they were going to take, and they took, and you don't have the money to do this. What do you feel? I don't belong here. What am I doing in this crowd? Hi? Stranger. So if you are worried about the Akhirah, and you're thinking about, I should do more for it, and I should donate more, and I should pray more, and make a lot of dua. When you meet the people of the dunya, where do they pull you? More towards the dunya, and less towards the Akhirah. And that's why you feel alienated from the people of the dunya around you. So he says, that's how you're supposed to feel, like it's not your place. Right? So if you feel, you have this uneasiness about existing on earth, it's not a terrible thing. Because you know that it's not your place. So that's the first station. Gharib, the stranger. أو عابر سبيل, or a traveler. The traveler has even fewer connections than the stranger, because the traveler does not form many bonds. So unlike the stranger can get married and the stranger can settle and buy. The traveler, does he do this? No. Right? The traveler is just there knowing that I'm going to be there for a day or two. I'll only take from that place what I need to continue my travel. Because in his mind, I'm not going to be here. I'm not staying. My final destination is home, and home is waiting for me. You had that feeling? Yani, Jannah is waiting for me. The Akhirah is waiting for me. What am I going to take from the dunya? I'm not settling here. Only take what you need and be light. Be light. Light what? You don't carry a lot of weights on you because what? There's not enough room in the car to put all of these things. I'm traveling. I only take what I need. What do I need? A little bit of food, a little bit of drink. Anything extra is going to just slow me down. So you don't take it. So at-takhaffuf min ad-dunya, in fact, taking less from the dunya. Why? Because it's easier in the akhirah. You're not going to be asked about it. Whereas if you have a lot, you'll be questioned about it. Hey, you who have millions, stop. Let's ask you about the dollars that you have. This dollar, this car, this house and that house. The poor person, what? Doesn't have to answer these things. I'm not saying that you have to be poor, but I'm saying what the attitude is, as the Prophet ﷺ himself said, not me, that he said, be as if you are a traveler. So you don't really settle in the dunya and you're not comfortable there. And he says, وَكَانَ ابْنُ عُمَرَ يَقُولُ Ibn Umar used to say, this is from Ibn Umar, not a hadith, but this is from Ibn Umar. إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرَ الصَّبَاحِ He says, at night, if you reach the night, don't wait for the morning. And if you reach the morning, don't wait for the night. And take advantage of your health before you are sick and of your life before you die. وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ This is Ibn Umar here extending what the Prophet ﷺ is talking about. Is saying that إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ at night, don't expect that you're going to live till the morning. Don't expect it. طيب, what is that going to do if you don't expect it? How will that change your life if you expect that? You're not going to see daylight. This is it. What will you do differently? If you wanted to do something good, you're not delayed till the morning. Because I won't be living then. So you'll do it now. So for instance, you know, you're going to go home, for instance, and you feel lazy. I'm not going to pray sunnah or witr. I'm not going to pray it. Tomorrow maybe I'll do that, but not today. But if you believe that you're going to die, you'll say, well, better I do it now. There's no tomorrow. Or from a sin, and you want to do it, but as long as you believe that there's a tomorrow and a day after tomorrow, you'll say, okay, fine, I'll just do the sin today, repent tomorrow. If there is no tomorrow, you'll stop now. So that's why he said, don't expect that you're going to be living, because that will corrupt you. That will what? Delay your repentance and postpone any good deed that you want to do. But at night, don't wait for the morning. And in the morning, count that as a ni'mah, but don't wait till the night. If there is something that is good, for instance, he said, I need to reconcile with so-and-so later. Why later? Now. So that we will rush to do good and you will avoid haram because of that attitude. And take advantage of your health before you are sick. There's a guy wrote, I just read it today, and he's a well-known older person. He says, at this stage of my life, there's nothing that I regret more than the fact that I intend to do a lot of good, but my body does not allow me to. I want to do a lot, but my body does not allow me to. I cannot do it. I cannot move to be able to do it. So I'm telling everybody who could still move, don't think that this will last you. It's like a blink of an eye. You have your health, and then before you know it, you don't have it anymore. Your mind is still active. You still want to do a lot, but you can't do it. So he said, take advantage, if you're just listening to me, take advantage of the fact that you can do things at this moment. Because there will come a time when you won't be able to. Whether it is standing for salah or reading the Quran or giving away sadaqah or going away for hajj or, you know, reconciling with someone and you think I can do it and then they die and you will never be able to. Says, take advantage of it now before later. And if you treat your life in this way, it will change you. It will change you, right? So this is that chapter, and that is the only hadith that is in it. The chapter that follows, and it's titled Babun fil amali wa tulihi. This is a chapter about extended hope, hope in a long life. So when we say amal or tulul amal, it doesn't mean many hope, just hope, but hope to live a long life. And as if al-Bukhari rahimahullah, right, after saying be in the dunya as a stranger or a traveler, as if he used to say the thing that stops you from this is having extended hope that you will live forever. So all of us, right, when we plan and when we think that how long will I live? Years and years, decades, that's how we think, right? I'll see next year and the year after and the year after and the year after that and so on and so on and so on and so on. So that goes against that advice of the Prophet ﷺ of being a stranger or a traveler. No, we think that we'll be here for ever and ever, for a long time. So as if al-Bukhari rahimullah is saying, this is an obstacle that needs to be corrected and a misunderstanding that humans have about their existence. So he says, he brings an ayah, two ayahs, and then saying of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and then a hadith. The ayah that he brings, he says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, the one who is moved away from hellfire, and he enters Jannah, or made to enter Jannah, he is one. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, this worldly life is nothing but a merchandise of deception, or something that is provided, but it is provision, yes, a deceived provision, or a provision of deception. مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَاسْ. If you are rescued from hellfire and you enter Jannah, you have succeeded. As if to say, that should be the hope. Like, so what do you want out of all of this? You're now young or middle-aged or older from your existence on earth now. And when it's about to end, that's it. Imagine now the moment of death. And you're going to leave this earth. What is it that you wish that had happened out of all of this? Now I'm dying and going where? If you are saved from hellfire and you enter Jannah, then you've won. If not, then all that you've done in your life was for nothing. Follow me? That you could have been very successful and very famous and very accomplished, and you are well praised, and all of these things, and you don't enter Jannah, then you lost. Or you could have been what? Very poor, struggling in life. You didn't get married, you didn't have children, you didn't own your home. You know, you didn't graduate, yet you didn't. And you enter Jannah, you're classified as has won. So that's the thing that decides success. So if you want to think about, when you say, Ya Allah, he's really successful in life. He's really successful. Who? Who typically is that? The rich. When you look at someone and you envy them from being successful, who is it? Look at them. Successful. They accomplished something, discovered, invented. People talk about them. They're famous. The spotlight is on them. Successful. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling you that that's not how you're supposed to define success. That should not deceive you. Success is really the one who enters Jannah and is rescued from hellfire. And that requires actions. And that's why Allah says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, this worldly life is basically what? A deception. A provision that is deceptive. You take it and you think it's in your hands, and soon enough, it's taken away from you. Soon enough, it now belongs to somebody else. It moves to somebody else. You see how people, subhanAllah, people, they become famous and they're celebrated and people love them. And as soon as that happens, they fall. Right? And people start hating them. You see that? And a person has money, and then after they have money, you start seeing them having trouble. Marital trouble, business trouble, people hate them. Nothing lasts from this dunya. The dunya gives you to take from you. Gives you from with one hand, it takes away from you with the other hand. So that's why it's very deceptive. You think you got it, but you don't have it. So this is Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know, encapsulated this entire dunya by being what? A deceptive provision. It doesn't last. And then also Allah Azza wa Jalla says, that's the second ayah, ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهُمُ الْأَمَلُ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. He's speaking to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's saying, let them eat and have fun and be distracted by hope. They will know. Meaning the non-believers who you talk to, and they don't listen, then Allah Azza wa Jal tells them as if there's nothing else you can do and there's no good in them, so let them. You don't want to listen, let them. Let them do what? Let them eat. Let them have fun. يَتَمَتَّعُوا. Let them have fun. وَيُلِيهُمُ الْأَمَلِ. Let hope distract them. Hope, what is hope here? That they were living forever. I mean, what? If you ask them, are you going to live forever? No. Of course, no. But you behave like you're living forever. You don't think about death, and you don't get ready for it. So you behave as if you're living forever. So in fact, you have that feeling that I will live forever. So Allah Azza wa Jal really is telling his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if they don't listen to you, they become like animals. Who just eats and have fun? Meaning just like animals. Let them eat. That's the limit of what their concerns. What are they worried about? I just want to eat. What are we going to eat today? Because we as humans, we act like, what am I going to eat today? What will I eat tomorrow? The only thing you think about is food. And also, what is for fun today? What will I watch? Where are we going to go out? What will we drink? That's the limit of concerns. Nothing else. What can I buy? So if your entire concern is materialistic, Allah Azza wa Jalla is then talking about you. This ayah applies to you. Not that you've become a disbeliever, but the attributes are the attributes of the disbeliever. They only care about consumption and eating and drinking and having fun. Next day, consumption and eating and drinking and having fun. And so on and so on and so on and so on. That's it. That's the limit of your concern. You mention death, you run away from it. You mention morality, ethics, doing something good, you run away from it. Salah, siyam, that's lame. They don't want to talk about this. That's not fun. That's not fun. That doesn't excite you. Does not interest you. But what does it interest you? I'm living forever. So hope distracts you. Hope destroys you. I will live and live and live and live. And now what I don't buy today, I'll buy tomorrow. And next year, I'm planning to buy something else. And the year after, and you're actually being primed to buy. You understand? You're being primed that as soon as you buy something, there's something else coming out. So psychologically, you're being manipulated to keep buying and buying and looking to buy more and more and more. You're becoming a slave to the machine of production. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, this is why you've been created. The sum of your existence is what? Eating and drinking and buying. That's it. And you don't want to listen? Then darhum, then do it. This is a threat from the ayah, a threat. Darhum, let him do that. They will know the consequence of all of these things. You look back at your life and you say, what have I accomplished? And you look at it and say, I've been simply what? Having fun and nothing else. And I'm coming to Allah Azza wa Jal with a sheet that has only bad deeds and having fun. That's it. I'm bankrupt. And I always thought I had time. Like ask somebody who's advanced in age, right? And they'll tell you, I don't feel the age that I am. I don't know how I'm this old. Right? And why a person before death, say, I always thought I had more time. I can't believe that it's all over now. Actually, it's all over. And I have to leave. Right? So you think about that before it actually happens. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, this Bukhari continues, he says, and I will just simply translate, when he says, ارتحلت الدنيا مدبرة, he says, the dunya is traveling away from you, is moving away from you, and the akhirah is traveling or moving closer to you. And each one of them has children. So be the children of the hereafter, don't be the children of the dunya. Because today, there is actions and deeds, but no accountability. But tomorrow, there is accountability, but no deeds. So he's saying, radiallahu anhu, is saying both the dunya and the akhirah are moving. Like, actually, you're the one who's moving, but in a sense, they're moving. So the dunya is moving away from you, right? Because if this is your death here, and as you're aging, you're moving closer to it, right? So as you're moving closer to your death, you're moving away from the dunya. So that's why he says the dunya is moving away from you. And the akhirah is getting closer to you. So dunya is going far away, and the akhirah is getting closer to you. So if you think about that movement, every day that you spend is a day that brings you closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. And should bring you closer to Allah. I mean, physically brings you closer, but also should bring you closer to Allah, meaning that you feel closer and you act closer to Him. And then he says, the hereafter has its children, and the dunya has its children. So if you ask yourself, who are the children of the dunya? They are the people who work for the dunya. Who are the children of the akhirah? The people who work for the akhirah. You know how, you know, in the dunya, we tend to, or we like to divide into tribes, even over, you know, nonsensical things, but we divide into tribes. So you have the tribe of A and the tribe of B. You got the tribe of the iPhones and the tribe of the Android, and each one is really loyal, right, to his tribe. I'm this and only this. I'm this and only that. Or sports teams. You know how, you know, they divide and they become half tribes. And you are the children of this club. And you're the children of that club. And this club is the worst. No, you're the worst. And we'll defeat you. You see how it is? We divide into tribes. We love to divide into tribes. But he's saying that there's a bigger, more meaningful division. And that is that you have the tribe of the dunya and the tribe of the akhirah. And they're very different tribes, and they have children. The children of the dunya are worried about the dunya, and they work for the dunya, and they glorify the dunya, and they're only thinking about it. The tribe of al-akhirah, they are worried about al-akhirah. What will my station be when I meet Allah Azza wa Jal? They're thinking about the beauty of Jannah, and they say, I want to reserve a plot in Jannah. I want my house to be the best. I want to have this and that. All the things I don't have here, I want to have it there. And for that, I'm going to do this and this and this. I'll fast. I'll pray. I'll stay away from haram. I'll promote Islam. I'll be engaged in da'wah. I will spend for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. I'll do things, like real things, to guarantee as much as I can my place over there. That is a child of Al-Akhirah who's thinking about Al-Akhirah. So that's why he says, be a child of Al-Akhirah. Don't be the child, don't be the other tribe, the child of the dunya, who's only thinking about it and working for it and living for it, and will regret at the end that that's the only thing that he knew. The child of Al-Akhirah will not regret it. The dunya, after all, and you think about it, yesterday is a dream. Do you remember what you ate yesterday? Maybe not, right? If you have a really bad memory, you will not, but probably you do. You remember what you ate yesterday? Isn't it just a memory, right? It's just like a dream. Do you remember what you ate the same day last year? No, right? This is gone, erased, as if it's not there. So many of the things you worry about today and tomorrow, when you think about it a year from now, 10 years from now, it's as if it didn't happen, like erased. Only a few things remain. And even the things that remain, you remember, is just a memory. And at the end of our lives, we'll look at all of this and we'll say, wow, it's as if, right, it almost didn't happen. So today he says, radiallahu anhu, عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ. You will do, but there's no accountability. You're not being rewarded and punished for it, you just do. And there's partial accountability. There is partial accountability, but it's not full one. So you will do good, do bad, you're not going to see many of the consequences of your deeds. But when you meet Allah Azza wa Jal, that's the full accountability, but you can't do anything about it anymore. That's it, you're done. So that's why he's saying, do now before you come to a time when you can't do anything, right? And this is the last hadith we'll mention, inshaAllah, today. This is an illustration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? And you can draw this when you go back home, if you want. And I'll try, inshaAllah, to illustrate the best that I can. It says, خَطَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَطًّا مُرَبَّعًا. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew a square. So imagine with me that he drew a square. And then from the middle, he drew a line that exits the square. So it goes from the middle of the square continuously until it exits the square. So here is the square. Here is the one line in the middle, and it exits the square. And then from that line in the middle, inside that square, there are small lines coming out of that one big line. So square, one big line, and at the beginning here, there's some small lines coming out of it. That's what he drew, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, هذا الإنسان, this line that is inside the square, he says, this is the human being. And the square is his destiny surrounding him. And that thing, that part of the square that comes, that part of the line that comes out of the square, that is his hope. And those small squares, right? Small squares, and I'll draw it again, inshallah, but those small squares are the adversities that he faces in life. If one misses him, the other one bites him or takes a bite out of him until he dies. So what the Prophet ﷺ was illustrating is what? It says, this is you. This is a square and this is you, right? And he says, but before, right, in the middle, cutting that one long line, is that this line, is that this whole square. So you live and you live and you live and you live and you live. And then that side of the square comes and cuts off your life. But then the line continues outside. What is this line that continues outside the square? He says, that's your hope. So you're moving, right? And you're living and living, and your hope is 100 years ahead, 90 years ahead, right? That's what you hope for. I will live and I will build and I will establish businesses and I will raise children and grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. This is your hope, right? So it extends far beyond your actual life. So as it is extending, the square comes and cuts off your hope. That is your death. And as you are marching towards your death, he says, this is khutut sigar, small lines here coming from the side. What are these? This is your illness and loss and disturbances and sadness. So this is life. You're marching towards what? Death. And you hope for this and you hope for that. But also there are losses that you will encounter, misfortunes and hardships along the way. And your hope extends far beyond your actual life. That illustration from the Prophet ﷺ is there to show what? The reality of life. Whatever you hope, right? Your life will end before it. You will always keep hoping for more. And you'll always keep hoping for more. But your end will come before your hope. Before your hope concludes. So don't be deceived by it. There's a place for hope. There's a place for hope. As long as it doesn't distract you. Right? That is, if a person asks, he says, should I like all hope in a long life? Meaning, don't get married because I'm just simply going to die. Don't have children because I may die before I have them. Don't do it. He says, no, not like that. Plan for the best things that you can. Plan for everything that is good that Allah Azza wa Jal loves, or at least it's halal. Plan for it. Planning is good. But don't let that plan convince you that you will actually live to see everything that you plan for. Meaning, if I want to build a masjid, how long does it take to build a masjid? A day? No. It may take years to build a masjid, right? When I collect the donations and this. Does that mean that I shouldn't plan for it because I could die tomorrow? So no, I'll go ahead and plan to build not one masjid, a million masjid. But don't think that you're going to live to see the building of a million masjids or 100 or maybe 10. But plan for it and work for it as long as you're alive. But also in the back of your head, think that I could die tomorrow. That will give you the urgency to build it as soon as you can. The urgency to do good as much as you can now. Not tomorrow, now, because tomorrow may not come. So this is what the Prophet is saying. This is your life, and your hope exceeds the span of your life. So don't let that extra portion deceive you by thinking that later, there is no later. There will come a time when there is no later anymore. There's no tomorrow anymore. So deposit what you can do today and plan as if you're going to be living 100. That's fine. Especially for good deeds. If a person is 60, 70, 80, and you tell him, plan to memorize the Quran, you say, oh my son, right? How long will I live? So it doesn't matter. Plan as if you're going to live till 100. Maybe you will. But do the good right now with a plan that may take you 10 years. Because even if you die now, it will count as if what? You have accomplished it. As long as you're working on it. But it didn't deceive you. You used it the right way. Using it the wrong way is to think, oh, I am 60 and I will live till 100 and let me have some fun. That's the problem. Right? Or maybe, not 60 even, I'm 20. And I have my life ahead of me. Let me have some fun first. And then you know what? Once I get married, this is the problem. When I graduate, that's I said that before. When I graduate, I'll be okay. I'll just let go of these things. I'll be a better person. You graduate and you give yourself more time. So when I get married, when you get married is when I have kids. For sure, when I have kids, I'll stop these things. You have kids and you say, "There's no time now, right? And I need this and I need that." You know what? When they go to school, when they graduate, when I retire, when you die, right? You say, "No, okay, that's too long. It's too late." So think about that. The shaitan is always going to come and tell you, postpone. You have time. You're too busy. There's more urgent things. Only so that you will at the end say, "Ya Allah, now I only have minutes left." So alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you time. Just use it. When you're walking, you're coming, just say, astaghfirullah. Plan tomorrow. Let me do something extra special tomorrow. Read the Quran if you haven't been reading it. Read some hadith if you haven't been reading them. Check up on a friend or a family member who needs you. Give some money in donations, volunteer, something, do something so that you can say, "I've done this before my death." Wallahu a'lam. And this is, inshallah, what I wanted to say for today. If you have questions, let me know, inshallah. About the topic, inshallah, not off topic. So we'll take one quick scan of the room. I don't see any hands up. That means, alhamdulillah, everybody's... There's no hands up, right? Okay, طيب. Barakallahu feekum. We'll see you, inshallah, next week at the same time. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.